This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Sometimes you get yourself to crack joke before the show starts, Aaron. I know you're on air.
No.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Friday. Friday, February 7th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be the host, your host for today. Today, I want to continue a conversation I had some weeks ago. And the reason why I'm going to continue it is because I got a lovely letter in the mail. Personally, I like getting things. I enjoy getting things in the mail, especially when it comes official, when it comes through Guardian Radio, and they say my name on it, that I'm significant enough that someone decide to write. And it's not even a short letter. It's like at least a 2-3 page letter, and people don't write anymore. So the very idea that this person took time out to write, to respond to a conversation that I initiated, right? I was flattered. Mind you, when I read this, and you know I'm dyslexic, so reading long things is be a chore. So I said, Aaron, you know you got to read this part of this for me, right? When I read the letter, I was amused. I was moved because of the historical context of it, saying, this gentleman is brilliant. I appreciate the gesture and the historical reference that he is given. And then I said, I can use the letter because I'm going to have Aaron read it into the record today because I believe the Bohemian audience needs to appreciate his reference point, his memory. And this is an elderly gentleman. This is a matured gentleman. I'm not going to preempt by describing him, but I'm going to preempt by saying the conversation I had that day so you can see what it's in reference to. And then I'm going to align that conversation to a broader conversation in general. Recently, when I say recently, no longer than yesterday or today, I was having a conversation about race relations, right? Most people know, at least definitely Aaron knows, that I'm biracial. Why do you always look at me when I say it, Aaron?
Because you're not biracial, sir.
What do you mean I'm not biracial? I did a DNA thing.
Yeah, and what did it say?
They say I'm 3% Irish.
And that 3% Irish is obviously from the Tiwa tribe that would have occupied Ireland, right? And is at the root of the myth of the leprechaun.
You are trying to take away my biracial identity. I conky Joe. And I'm proud. Y'all have been subjecting us for a while. And I'm saying I am comfortable in my conky Joe-ness. That I'm able to say it loud and let people know that we belong here also.
I agree. You are definitely phenotypically white with a splash of color.
No, a good douche. No splash. It's a lot. It's a lot, you know. But I mean, I mix race. That's my point. All of that is I mix race. Mm-hmm. So as being a student of history and a student of sociology and how people get involved with each other and the growth and development of Bohemians in general, and a person who like do social science in terms of how people interact with each other, I tend to have tough topics to have a discussion with, right? You are a person of privilege, right? You live amongst a community that have mixed race people, black, white, Jews, Gentiles, all in your community, right? I came up from an inner city where the whitest person just yellow, right? Nobody white in my community at all. But when I went to school, I was able to interact with people of different races and background. And I always want to appreciate their Bohemian experiences. And I say Bohemian purposefully because there are different types of people who have different types of Bohemian experience. There's a number of people who say, well, how come white Bohemians do not come out to Independence Day celebrations, but they celebrate Independence differently. And that too is Bohemian, and that too should be accepted, right? Because it's just different. Why can Greeks celebrate openly at their various functions, and then Haitian Bohemians have issues at times? You know, we have different ethnic groups, inclusive of the Filipinos who are here and who are huge in numbers, and they are very active in their social aspects. So I tend to discuss racial dynamics so Bohemians can appreciate the differences amongst us, even though we're different. Or like, if I could coin the Jamaican phrase, out of many people, we are one still, despite being different.
Yeah, there's a difference between unity and harmony.
Yes.
Right? Unity requires us to align with the same thought.
Yes, the mean system.
Harmony requires us to commit to aligning with each other despite not having the same thought.
Yes. So I want to introduce the good. I know he wrote the letter. And there are one or two of the handwriting may not understand readily, but do your best in terms of reading it. Don't identify the person.
Yeah, no.
Right? Just read it into the record, because some of the historical facts, I think the Bohemians in general would appreciate, of a different era, different time, before I was born, before Aaron was born, and how we have moved and where we are. So that's what type of discussion I want to have today.
Also, I just want to say before I begin reading the letter that I reached out to the author of the letter and I shared contact information via their email address, mm-hmm. and so that they can reach out to us and we could perhaps build a broader discussion.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to begin to read. The letter was entitled Talk Show Topic. It reads, from time to time, I hear you two discussing the race matter. This communication comes to you from a white octogenarian, and they put white in parentheses. I say white because the genetics, according to 23andMe, show 2% Asian, 18% African, and 80% mixed European. This is a matter that has plagued me a long time, and so I gladly share what little I know. I went to QC and was there when it integrated. I recall all matters pertaining thereto. I recall when Mr. Dyer announced to the morning assembly that the Methodist Church had taken a decision to integrate the school. What a reaction. Some parents went into panic mode, and a movement was started to recruit children to join a movement of mass exodus toward St. Andrews. My dad was approached relative to his two sons, and he said he had no intention of joining such a movement because it was only right and progressive to have integration. Well, the first black student was from the Forest, Exuma, and in parentheses it says Nigel, and he joined the top grade. After that, others came. Two persons to my grade, Rupert and Telsine. I think that's the writer, Telsine Turner.
Wow.
Right? Both excellent students. I recall that we had some students who were great in literature, myself included, but Telsine left us in the dust. She only stayed a year with us, then went to Government High. It's going to take me a second. Often in literature and playwriting, there's some words are difficult to read. Rupert, and in parentheses, Moss, went on to become a doctor and moved into...
Go ahead, we're quite aware. Go ahead.
He was always a super serious person. At lunch break, we boys would discuss the issues of the day. This is when national identity and nationhood were forming. The Methodist Church had a duplicitous position in the race issue. I went to Ebenezer, have many letters. I know firsthand. They integrated the school, and at the church, the black person sat on one side and only on one side only and at the back. This was always a puzzle. The time came in 64 when one of those persons went and sat in the white territory. What a hoopla, a hullabaloo that caused. The fact is that many, if not most Bahamians, are mixed race to some extent. A national genetic sampling would be very revealing. I recall at the age of 11, asking my mother how come my dad and my brother were dark with deeper shades of brown. She offered that the ancestry of my father's side was French, accounting French something, but for this, but I am dubious. There are persons in both camps who do not want race relations to advance. The whites, because of inherent racism, and the blacks, because it is handy to have at election season. Mm. Now, here is something else. In the white community, we're not one group of people. I think he's saying that the white community, they were not all aligned. They were okay. Not all
different
all
of types
the same.
Of white people.
Well, no, not just that. I think different thought, different okay. positions about race. Sorry, get back to it. There was classism. There were groups according to how much you had. My family began in the middle of the middle class. My family were in the middle of the middle class. So he was saying, in the white community, we were not one group of people. Classism existed there. The elites of that time, i.e., the 50s and 60s, were the wealthy whites, and the white something were the members of the Bay Street Boys. We're going to continue. I got to make out those words. We continue conferring with their colleagues. Okay. Any threat or slight that they perceived was met with quick reprisal. Mm. They could make or break by simply conferring with their colleagues. That's the sentence I was trying to make out. A person could be banned from employment. These things I know because I listened to the conversations of my dad and those in his group. There had to be a sigh of relief for the victims of them, even in of their evil in 67. Now, here's something to consider. One night I happened to be at a meeting of the Historical Society of the Bahamas. This topic came up. Pericles, mm-hmm. who was a member, said that his dad was heavy in the UBP at that time, and that some of the meetings were held at his home. This is what Pericles said at that public historical society mm-hmm. meeting. Pericles was a lad at the time and would sneak out of his bedroom to listen. He said that sometimes there were fierce arguments between the white conservative right-wing extremists and the moderates of the party. The first group usually won out, and the entire complement of the party membership had to be painted with that same brush. I hope this information has been helpful. And then he extends an invitation to reach out to him,
yes.
which I have done, and I hope that we can continue the conversation this conversation and then broaden it, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is why I wanted to read how this particular letter read into the record, because I appreciate the author. I appreciate the author reaching out. It gives some insight of white Bahamas, or white Bohemiana at a particular time, the various differences, because he gave us his ethnic breakdown, right? And shows that he's 18% African. However, at that time, he went as white.
He was labeled. Identified as white.
And of course, he questioned his parents on whether, how come his father was kind of brownish, and his mother gave him an explanation. They said, you're French. That's why they are brown. And now, later on, definitely is an explanation on why they were brown, right? But it tells a tale about a different kinds of white Bohemians living in the Bahamas, going through their own struggles before majority rule.
So what it shows us is that classism operated across race, right? Mm-hmm. And so that classism is a tool to create a hierarchy of power.
Yes.
It also showed us that the discussion is far more nuanced than we were usually presented with. I mean, I think he was very accurate when he said that the blacks use race at election time.
I wonder which blacks and which election time, but go ahead.
Which is why last week or earlier in this week, I made the point, you know, that we should not rely on a political narrative to tell us what race is.
Yes. Yes. And it also showed a great divide at Queens College as they transitioned from a all-white school to a school that embraced diversity. And the movement from Queens College to St. Andrews also, and that there were many white Bohemians who said no. We will embrace diversity, right? Because we sometimes lump all white people as the same. Oh, all y'all didn't like us as black people. But clearly, there were a dissension amongst this particular grouping. And I wanted us to have a discussion on it. But we have a caller on the line. Let me have this caller join in the conversation, because I want to mention Queens College and Collins House, because at one point in time, Queens College was based in Collins House. And you know, our prime minister had a ribbon-cutting ceremony recently. And I want to also discuss that and bring that into the conversation and have Lucy talk about Queens College, talk about St. Andrews and their origin, right? Let's go to the caller there.
Hello, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Morning.
Yeah, great conversation. But, you know, for me, right, being sub-autodidactical, right, in that, you know, I can't say that I educated myself, because I remember my grade 6 teacher and all my primary school teachers from Ms. Boom, straight up to Ms. Fox. Up to everybody, so to say autodidactical, but sub, because I have educated myself a lot on numerous issues. So I remembered reading an article, and, you know, I like to say, God bless her soul. I'm glad you guys make me feel proud that Telsin Taylor Royal actually taught me English literature at COB. She used to grade me out, but, you know, I appreciated her. She actually turned me on to reading African poetry. That's how I get to know with B.S. Naipaul and Roger Mayers and all these people, and so I could see why she had pointed us in that direction. And I'm grateful for her. And what I wanted to touch on was, I'm also grateful for Catherine Kelly, because as CA spoke, right? I know for sure that the origins of man is the way to solve this problem. So when you look at the origins of man, when you look at unadulterated DNA starting out of Africa, right, then there's no doubt the scientific symposium has already concluded that, despite what we may think. So then anyone who did genetics know that the observable traits an individual is based on expression of genes. So the phenotype, which is influenced by the genotype, right? But you have influenced by factors such as environment, which will be what I call climate biology and other genetic modifiers. So we all came from one. Let's look at the dogs. You can look at a dog, right, Aaron? You know that all dogs are mixed, right? You know that, right, Aaron? All dogs are bred to get a breed. Like the pit bull is a mixture of the bulldog and the terrier, et cetera, et cetera. The mastiff is—they're mixed to get a particular look and a particular breed. So I've read where, and I think Anquan corrected me. I think it's the Denisovians and certain Neanderthals. They are adulterated, because they said that the San Bushman I that's the that's the English name. I don't know if they that's the same as the Hazabi in Africa, but they are shown to have unadulterated DNA. Mm-hmm. And so this is very important in the scientific symposium on the origins of man. So I you said something, but I wanted to say this: the colorism or the classism was always something implemented by the longtime globalists to create schisms in people. You know, some of them is black, it's cool, you call them black, some are black. But what I'm saying is it has achieved its effect in that light skin, bright skin, dark skin. We see even where the people, you all like the bigger, the Haitians, they bleaching, and some of us are bleaching. You see what I'm saying? But I look at all of this, as somebody pointed out as to the church being duplicitous, right? It's the same thing with behemoths. We're talking about the Haitians, yet I live in the inner city, yet I show these people love, yet I go and spend and buy money, spend with their stores, and I reintegrate with them, and I have Haitian friends. So I don't appreciate the new schism. And so, as we speak, people are talking about they like the Asians, but let the Asians start moving out west and around them. Then we really will see. So everybody's duplicitous and hypocritical because I live around these people. And I see everything that walks, move, and breathe in inner city is basically Haitian or Asian descendants. So I don't want to hear nothing but don't like no Haitian. Good, thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
I see we have several other calls on, so let me include in the conversations before we start analyzing things. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey.
You're live.
Good day, Mr. Neri.
Good day.
Good morning. Ms. Green, you was, I think someone said you might have gone to college, I mean, Queens College before?
Yeah, I graduated from Queens College.
Yeah, so I see why you're so smart. So, you experienced what this writer saying, what Neri gets you to read just now. I never see you with words when it comes down to reading, like, care on like it. So, you was trying to read it before you said to us the...
It was it's a handwritten letter, and at points in the letter, you could see that the writer, his hand may have become tired.
Oh.
And so the handwriting changed slightly, and it was a bit difficult to discern what the words were.
Because I know you're smart. And so you all experienced, I'm not sure what, I think I have either with integration meaning. But you was there, you experienced it.
No, I'm not that old. By the time I got to QC, QC was...
Oh, yeah, you say you're 40-something.
...was integrated, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I
what
have...
What does that mean? That means whites? And
well, you know, segregation versus integration. Segregation is when blacks and whites live and do everything separately.
Uh-huh.
And integration is when they began allowing blacks into uh-huh. their establishments, right?
So and
they
you say that's integrate. When the people moved their children and cared in the St. Anne's and other places? That's what the writer said?
Right. The writer said that a movement began,
uh-huh.
right? And parents wanted to move their students to St. Andrews, but I think it was more of a threat, right?
Like, no, that's when St. Andrews started, right afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, more whites to St. Andrews at that time?
Yeah, it was all white school at one point in time.
Okay, so they did behemoth white people who moved their children started or considered sending them to St. Andrews.
Right, but as you could surmise and mm-hmm. you gather from the writer, not all parents were on board with that movement. The writer says that his father emphatically refused to join the movement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Although he might not say his name or no, I think if you all think deep and you don't have to tell us, you and you, we should know, especially you, Miss Green, because he sound like you. No, you say you're younger than them, so he might be an older person. Miss Green, since he quoted that thing from Jamaica, I don't know if you call it the coat of arms or what, or one people.
Just,
and you always talk, Mr. Neri, how you get some Jamaican in you, right? Like how
she Bayesian.
Don't tell the police.
She Bayesian.
I'm
Irish, you're Bayesian. And you say you get some Jamaican in you, right?
That's me on the next side.
Okay, I get some Texas Island in me, and Texas Island and Jamaica kind of close, and Haiti. So listen, I was wondering, like, if next week or something, or having that Jamaican blood inside you a little bit, right? You think it's a good idea, or and who is the promoters who go in the brand?
Vibes Cartel?
Yes, the world snitch. Wise Cartel.
Why you call him that? I thought he was the mob world boss.
You all need to find out, but I'm on.
Oh, no, I don't need to know. I don't need to know.
I don't know if this is negative. I wonder if we should just sit back, let the conflict go and everything.
That's a great thing. Here's what it is, right?
I wonder if crime will go up.
It could be negative. It could be positive. It all depends on us. It all depends on us.
Yeah.
It's not like the music is going to put us in a trance and then feed, like hypnotize us and then feed ideas to us. And then all of a sudden we're doing things that we've never done before. That ain't going to happen.
No way.
The music can only bring out of us what is already in us.
Ah, boy. Who's the promoters? You know?
I don't know who the promoters are, but here's what I would say. Like, parents, if you think your children ain't into Vibes Cartel, think again. If your young people going to the Vibes Cartel concert, talk to them about it. Make them be conscious in their own experience.
I know people like Dr. I agree with you, Ms. Green. People like Dr. David Allen and others might encourage the government, knowing how much crime or all this killing we get going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
That maybe I don't know who's the promoters, and I don't know if they want to bring him back when it's come close to the election to see if they can win or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think we don't need him, man. Did you go to KB concert by the farm?
I was at another event. In fact, I went to a different concert.
Mm-hmm.
I went to one rock concert, a yearly annual rock concert. But I heard KB at the farm was great.
Huh? Richie and the Bahamas?
Yeah, yeah, all Bahamian artists.
Okay.
All Bahamian rock performers.
If it's possible, bring back on the union people. I don't know which one in charge it is.
Right, to find out about the Vibes Cartel thing. See, because that was the biggest issue, was whether, not whether we should bring him in or not, but whether the organizers were following the proper procedure, whether they had Bahamian artists opening the act, right? And to what extent has it been open to Bahamians to earn revenue?
Yeah, Papa, I'll reach out to them. But thanks very much for the call.
Okay.
I reach out to the union.
Right.
We have several texts I want to read. We have a text from Telsey Turner Roll's son, right? He's listening.
Mm-hmm.
He said, please express my thanks for the comments regarding my mother's role in the integration of Queens College. He was moved. He was flattered that his mother's name was called as a memory.
Right. And it speaks to her presence, right?
Yes.
It speaks to who she was, that this gentleman remembers, like burned
yes.
in his memory, and that it impacted
decades later.
It impacted him, you know. And so I want to say to Bahamians, right? Like, we are an oral society. We share stories, we tell stories.
Yes.
We don't necessarily write them down. We have lost so much history because we were unable to preserve, to capture those stories from our loved ones before they passed away. And so I want to say to Bahamians right now, if you got an older member of your family, understand the value of them and make space to extract knowledge from them.
And we need people around our age to record their parents, especially in their own handwriting, their own pen, to get their expression. Can you imagine the worth, the value of this particular letter written to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Decades from now, when he tells about a point in time in Bahamian history and the transition for that. But I want to talk about Collins Wall, Collins House, right?
Mm-hmm.
Recently, our Prime Minister did, I saw two clips without a narrative to go with it. One clip was the Prime Minister and some other dignitaries were in front of Collins House. And the caption, I think, was one in the Tribune and one inside the Guardian also.
And it was an Our News video story.
Yeah, okay, Our News. And it says, the reopening of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
I passed Collins Avenue and realized that the gate is open. That gate has been closed for a while because you normally go in the back from off Collins Avenue instead of Shirley Street. Shirley Street proper is open now.
So you're telling me for all of this time you had to enter through the Negro's gate? Like the gate in the back?
Yeah, the gate in the back gate. So it was good to see it open. And of course, when I went there, I said, man, but there has been no construction on this building. And this talk about a national museum, and we do need a national museum to host information like this and to celebrate what is Bahamian, different aspect of different people coming to the Bahamas.
Right.
We need that. Like yesterday, right? We need to have a Greek section, a Haitian section, a Jamaican section, a Chinese section, all these different people who moved to the Bahamas to make the Bahamas what it is. And then the Negro or African section of the Bahamas, and of course, and Anglo-whites too, to tell our story of the making of the Bahamas.
Here's a question. Can we, or should we, what is the sense of reopening the gate in the house if we don't talk about the wall?
That was lacking.
Talk about race. See, and I think it's equally important in this moment when our neighbors to the north are struggling with race relations, right? And they're struggling with keeping the past in the past. So it seems like people want to drag the past into the present as if it never went anywhere. I think is problematic or it's detrimental. We do ourselves a disservice if we open the gate, the house, and ignore the wall and the lived experiences of Bahamians.
My concern is the narrative, the same thing you're saying in different words. With the cutting of the ribbon, there was no narrative accompanying it. Mm-hmm. A number of us are familiar with Collins' wall, Collins' house. There's about 3-4 different narratives. At one point in time, they said that the wall, right, which ran for miles from Shirley Street straight to Wolf Road, right, on two sides, mm-hmm. right, that's what's a couple, 7 miles there. That they said that wall divide their black Bahamians from the white Bahamians. And then another narrative said, no, it was a housing complex about class, not necessarily about race, because they had black people on the other side of the wall also. But the original narrative was in the 1940s, Collins was a member of parliament and who represented Acklands and Crooked Island. And we're going through the Great Depression, whatever it is, after the war, during the war. And he employed the two islands and Nassau people and said, man, there's no job here. But if you build this wall, you get a salary. Mm-hmm. And he fed them. And this is how Bahamians survived during that Great Depression, right? After he died, there's a different narrative, of course, in terms of the divide and people jumping over the wall in order to get access to the other side. But that narrative supposed to be our narrative, and few people know it. And the idea that we're now having a opening of a dilapidated building, it doesn't bode well. And then I didn't see the media question the Prime Minister of what is the goal? What is the objective?
What's the timeline?
What is the timeline? Like, why are you opening the gate? Can Bahamians come through the gate and go through the gate to see what exactly? Mm-hmm. And then there's another video of the Prime Minister doing a tour of the dilapidated building.
No, man.
Yeah, he's walking through the
dilapidated building.
With a hard hat and several other dignitaries, Minister of Education. And again, no narrative of what is it that they plan to do with the building. We know it's going to be the National Museum. That was being said for the past 20-odd years. They've been talking about Collins' house when it closed down for Ministry of Education. We're going to have the National Museum here. And then it went silent, dark, in terms of financing. Mm-hmm. You had an opening, and we have no clue how we're going to finance this building. And then we see people like the Honorable Adrian Fox, the Honorable, he's a doctor. Doctor, Honorable Ambassador.
Stop.
He's an ambassador.
Stop.
He's an ambassador.
Who made him an ambassador?
That doesn't matter.
No, it does matter. Who made him an ambassador?
I don't know who made Adrian Fox an ambassador. Right there. He's a doctor.
Is he a Did the Bahamian government confer ambassadorship upon him?
Other place could have confer ambassadorship on him.
Pause.
He's an ambassador.
Did an organization confer ambassadorship on him?
Yes, I'm sure.
Or another country?
The doctor is an ambassador.
Here's his third. Here's the 14th point.
Yeah.
When you've been given an honorary doctorate, you're only to use that designation in the institution. Like, you have to be in the institution, and you got to be doing something with the institution at the time to refer to people.
You're trying to say he's not a doctor? I believe he's one of them haters, just because he have honors.
Once you understand, I don't hate common sense.
Okay, let's go to this caller because let's continue the conversation. Go ahead, caller.
Well, let me just say that INM, you're one of the few people in the Bahamas that don't hate common sense. Mr. Adrian Fox is an ambassador, a current ambassador at large in the Bahamas. What happens is
that... Hold on. Even I had to pause just
say
now.
Say that again?
You know, you talk about two different things. What do you mean ambassador at large?
That's an ambassador that's not attached to anything.
No, I know what ambassador at large means.
Who appointed him an ambassador? The Bahamian government?
No.
That's the only person that has the authority.
No. He got an ambassador for something else.
An organization.
I made a note of that somewhere. I'm looking for it right now.
Loosely affiliated with the UN. I think
he's a philanthropist, and he's honored for that. He got an ambassador role for his environmental and his donations type thing. that he's doing.
Okay, I'm going to log in, and then look for my WhatsApp from you. I'm logging into my database right now.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Let's continue your conversation with you call from.
But on the thing of race relationship, we have yet to have a reconciliation commission in regards to that, and we have individuals that somehow seem to be political. In fact, in the last couple of weeks, I started watching ZNS again because I wanted to see when Roots is played again. But we are still seeing the schism in the race relationships, and more so from the political class that drives the conversation. And that white guy in the House of Assembly, I think his last name is White, or is he a white guy? Either way, but whenever he speaks, the opposite, the government spokesperson or person who acts on their behalf often refers back to him with particular undertones that you guys did this and that and whatever. You even saw that the prime minister made a reference to the FNM being a party for the oligarchs as opposed to them being a party of the new oligarchs. And so what happens, though, is because we still have a diminishing population that's still here who somehow still influence their family hierarchy, it seems to be that we keep perpetrating this for power as opposed to purpose. And so we can never get the full story. I'm very familiar with Nuri. I may be a little bit more biracial than you. But Nuri, I think you're biracial, and maybe some of mine may be one of locality as opposed to color. You know, so if you have some Negroes in China and I say I'm Chinese, it won't be because of my skin color. It'll be because they happen to be Chinese. And history reports them as the same. But the fact is we're seeing that right now, and we have the conversation almost weekly in undertones in regards to this so-called class of people that is being built as opposed to reconciling what we were, who we are, and who we are to become based on the truthness of our history. And this is why I'm very familiar with the Progressive Liberal Party history. I'm very familiar with the opposition party and other things, whose father happens to be from Long Island, born before the 19th century. You see, I'm old people's children. And knowing the history or even of Freeport, because my father was a very good, I've been also from the Berry Islands, was a very good friends with Wallace Grove. That tells you the age that there was. In fact, my father would be 40 years or maybe 30 years or 40 years older than Wallace Grove would have been today, as well as Taylor, Cartwright, and Stevenson. So when we begin to look, and I don't think we ever want the true history. I think the younger generation does. But I think there's a group of people that still wants to perpetrate this schism as opposed to like how South Africa did, recognize what it is, put it in our true history in the proper context so we could have historical significance as opposed to partisan game playing. Thanks.
Thanks very much. And I agree with C. Allen regarding this generation wants the unadulterated history, no unbiased. Just tell us. They have moved on from the angst of, oh, they used to look at the boogeyman, they used to do this to us, and I'm vexed. Black and white Bohemians want to participate in Bohemiana. We see schools like St. Andrews want to participate and are active and make it. That's life for you, St. Andrews. That's life key, I'm talking about, sorry, in terms of the Junkanoo participation. We see Spanish Wells sent up a troop and said, no, Junkanoo belongs to us too, right? And owning their Bohemian culture and the Bohemian identity, right? We see, even in terms of the inner city over the hill, we see that white Bohemians, and in particular a number of Greek Bohemians, saying, I'm coming to assist the inner city, because we have a duty of care to them, right? And all of this narrative must come forward, and we must address our past in order to be able to move forward. But going back to the Prime Minister and the opening, well, it's not necessarily opening, the opening of the gate of Collins House, right? The future home of the National Museum. What should we be demanding? What should the media be demanding? How will this museum be funded? right? Right now, there's no funding. We have had groundbreaking of all kind of airports, road, digging, whatever it is, and then just stop. Do we say that what this activity that would happen, this opening of the gate, this touring, is just a ruse in terms of we have no intention of having any immediate movement to have this National Museum, but we just saying that we start? Is that what is happening right now? That because there's no money assigned to this, we can assume that, no, we're not going to get a National Museum anytime soon because there's no timeline. Because
is
there's
it
no,
the, is it in the blueprint for change?
No, it ain't in the blueprint.
Well, then I don't know what you expect. What you expect?
I expect movement.
We tell y'all we was going to open up a museum? You read that now, blueprint for change?
No, it's not there.
Okay, then.
We're going to take a quick commercial break here. Let me read this whilst we take a commercial break also, because we have sponsors. So it's Click. The Bay of the Bahamas invites you to Victory Fest 2025. Join us Saturday, March 1 at Smuggler Square for an epic celebration on the 2024 Boxing Day and the 2025 New Year's Day Junkanoo winners, the Saxon Superstars. The Junkanoo season may be over, but the celebration is just getting started. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Lil Giant and DJ Tank, and performing live, Fanshawe and D-Mac. Let's celebrate four straight Junkanoo winners, Saxon Superstars. This has been Guardian Radio AM, of course, it's C.A. Nuri. We just read a letter from can I call him a historian? What do you call him?
I wouldn't call him a historian.
Reflector?
An older Bahamian.
Yes.
An octogenarian.
Octogenarian.
Right, who acknowledges that they've been identified as white, like they're phenotypically white,
mm-hmm.
but they understand their ethnic makeup to be mixed.
Mm-hmm.
8% Asian, 12%, 18%
African,
2% Asian, and 80%.
Yeah.
Mixed European descent.
But definitely identifies as white. But he tells a tale about how or what happened at Queen's College in terms of the integration. And then what the genesis of St. Andrews and the Bahamas at that point of time and the different type of people at that point in time. And I want to say I appreciate the letter. And thanks very much for writing us.
I don't think he identifies as white, but I think he accepts that he would be identified as white and possibly over generations, through generations.
Yes.
Right?
We'll be right back.
Show me Bala Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl, everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing, just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Alpha Sounds Promotion presents Back to Love, an unforgettable evening of smooth R&B vibes and cherished memories. Join us at the Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, February 15th for a spectacular all-white affair featuring live performances by soul sensations, Freddie Jackson.
Everybody, it's Freddie Jackson. I'm coming to Nassau, Bahamas, and we are looking forward to the night of love.
Also performing Regina Bell. also featuring Bahamas' very own Essence Band. Back to Love, Saturday, February 15th.
It's a spectacular all-white affair.
At the Nassau Cruise Port. Get tickets online. BahamasETickets.com. Plantation Bar and Grill. Big Boys Cafe. And Tropics Bar and Grill.
For more info, contact 822-6863.
And I hope to see you there. Make it like
it was. You're a builder. You want to give your client the best material at the best prices, and you need to put food on the table. Well, check out these prices at Pinder Enterprises. 5/8 pressure-treated roofing ply starting at $36.68 includes VAT. By the way, all these prices include VAT. Gray Select Water Shield, 134/20 roll. Felt, 15 pounds, 16.50, 30 pounds, 19.80. Owens Corning Duration Shingles and Certainty Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of Roof Cement, $33.47. When it comes to screwing and nailing, Pinder got you covered. He got every nail and screw you could possibly need.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. We have a number of texts I want to read into the records. Let me say this, right? The Collins house, the Collins wall, the Collins gate has been designated to be the National Museum for maybe about 20 years now. During the first Perry Christie government. Mm-hmm. Something happened. It didn't happen. And we see that this administration has taken up the mantle to push it forward. So we have no clue when they will start because they didn't announce any date. We have no clue if they have the finances because they didn't announce any finances. Mm-hmm. We just know that it's going to happen. It's 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10. It's going to happen. I'm hoping we can get people from antiquities to give us a timeline, definite information on if they have the money. Are we borrowing the money? Is it budgeted? They would have to get information from the Ministry of Finance first before they give that. But that's the information I'm looking for. If you can't give that, it makes no sense. You're coming, right? But I would appreciate a timeline and construction dates and so on moving forward. So I definitely would invite them to come and do that. But go ahead, Aaron.
I love the way that you said it. I was going to say it far differenter than you said it.
Which is going to say so.
I was going to say, don't dare young civil servants, don't let these politicians run y'all up on breaks, you know. Don't let them get y'all heads excited with the idea of professionalism and succeeding and achievement and delivering on things promised. Mm-hmm. See, we could tell you 20 years they've been talking about opening up that museum. 20 years plus. Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember reading articles by Diane Phillips when I was doing a piece referencing Collins House and the grand ideals and how long they've been on the table. Don't let politicians run y'all civil servants up on breaks.
So the proof is in the pudding.
Like, right. And here's what we mean by the pudding. Is there a timeline? Is there a definitive timeline?
You have no clue.
And if there is, why is there a problem releasing that to the public? Mm. And then here's another critique. Like, here's the critique. Why did you have an opening ceremony for the gate? And then to tell us that you're going to put a museum there, that you told us that 20 years ago and no work has started? Has work started? I mean, more than handing out hard hats? Has work? I just told you I was going to say it differenter, and I appreciate the way that you said it. Because it sounded a lot better the way you said it.
You're kind of brash, man. Let's read the text. Because I invited them to come on. I definitely invited them to come on.
They should come on.
Because I want to talk about my ancestors they holding hostage in the box, the Awaks, but that's a different topic altogether.
They should speak. And to suggest that this type of critique is the reason why y'all don't talk to the public, go home.
Let's go to the text.
Go home.
Let's go
because
to the text.
It's become a constant refrain. Oh, y'all ask the questions. We're not coming to talk. When do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. What do you say? The last time you spoke, y'all had a grand opening ceremony for a gate.
It was a good ribbon cutting. The gate looks nice. It's painted black. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Let's go to the text.
A text from 1138. It's like how they claim the GTA and other games. I think that's actually from an earlier show. Hey, y'all. We find the key. Gate open. Texas say, I was also puzzled by the Fox announcement. He couldn't give any details about what they plan to do exactly with a $300 million investment. We don't know of, well, start with this or that, or where the workforce will come from. Odd. This administration appears to be a grand announcement in search of an objective. Aaron, tell Mrs. Turner's son that his mother was a dedicated teacher, also a very good teacher. C.A., let's bear in mind that during slavery with men and their children would degrade, blame women by raping them so that they could be initiated.
Okay.
We're talking about miscegenation. They're talking about the practice of separating families and using people as breeding machines to destabilize. Yeah, I'm surprised at who is allowed to get cozy with government and who isn't allowed to get cozy with government, Texter. It says, no, it's not from an earlier show, Aaron. Okay, so here's the text. Also, it's like how they claim the GTA and other games with violence would cause violence, or Harry Potter would cause kids to get into voodoo and black magic. Complete foolishness. I leave vibes alone. Vibes Cartel. Wish I could go back and give those ignorant people one polite slap with a white powdered glove on. But I know somebody working on a time machine right now to take this plantation back to 1745. When I find them, we can find a white glove right there. Another text. Look at the pictures carefully. The investors right in the picture. Lest we forget, we have had a prime minister who people say shouldn't claim he experienced some of our black discrimination because he was on the other side of the wall away from the blacks.
What?
Who's that, Perry?
He's on the other side of the wall, for true.
Perry? I mean, Christy?
Yeah, but it's a whole different generation still.
Yeah, see, and that's the most, I think, complex and fascinating part about this discussion. Remember, race is mutable. It changes. The way we engage it, the way it operates, changes over time. Culture, geography, language, all of it, right? So reading of racism and what it meant to be black in the 1950s is entirely different from the reading of racism and what it means to be black in 2025.
Do you know H.G. Christie is Perry Christie's ancestor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a few people know that.
Mm-hmm.
You have Conky Joe blood?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have.
So do I. No, not you.
I have Conky Joe. I am mixed blood. I am mixed race, and you're not going to take it from me. You're not going to take it. I am Conky Joe. Anyone who can see it, if they squint their eyes, they can see it clearly. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a blessed day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.